And welcome to Geekers Creepers. This is the special episode where we talk about the HBO's The Last of Us. I am one of your hosts, Rob, and I am joined by Kelly Kapowski. How's it going, Kelly?
Doing great. Hi, everybody. Thanks for being with us today.
And I am also joined by Eddie Spaghetti. How's it going, Ed?
Hello, Rob. Hello, fellow Geekers Creepers.
All right. So we are here to talk about episode 8, which I was corrected a second ago, of HBO's The Last of Us, which is titled When We Are in Need. So what we're going to do, we talk about the episode, we go through the episode. So if you haven't seen it, anyone out there, I would highly recommend to see it because we are going to go through everything. We're going to spoil the entire episode. We have two perspectives when we talk about this TV show. We have the video game perspective, which is I played the game, one of my favorite games of all time. And then we have Eddie and Kelly, who have not played the game at all, and they're just looking at it from the perspective of a first-time viewer or first time ever hearing this story or getting to experience the story. And we'll also go into what we thought of the episode at the very end and how we rank it or what is it, out of 10 or out of 10 scale. So with that said, I try as much as I can not to give any spoilers about the future of this show because it follows, it's almost to a T, the game. Like everything is kind of real close. There are some differences, some for the better, some for the worse, but it does follow very close to the game itself. So with that said, we are going to talk about episode 8 of HBO's The Last of Us. And we start with a David, one of the new characters introduced to, talking in the background, and he is quoting Revelations 21. And we get to see kind of like the a shot of the resort town. What is it called? Is it Lake something? Silver Lake. Right, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. It. So we get that shot of Silver Lake and David talking about Revelations. And I think this is kind of important, the fact that they're talking about Revelations, specifically just the idea of Revelations, because in this episode, we'll talk about this later, but the way I looked at it was the apocalypse or the outbreak caused David to reveal who he truly was. And we get to see this, you know, this person who was a teacher in the world of you know, in the civilized world, suddenly gets to reveal to who he really was, which is, it is creepy.
Hold on. Can I interject for a moment?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So I feel like we're jumping ahead a little bit.
Okay,
so
yeah, no problem.
Let's start off with exactly what you said. They got this big poster. Mm-hmm. Painted on there, when we are in need, he shall provide, Proverbs 21 or Revelations 21.
Yes.
And then we are, in my opinion, introduced to a cult that is about to do a mass suicide, is what I think. Because it's given the vibe of like the Kool-Aid is here, right? Yes. But then we find out it's actually a funeral. It's like it's this girl's dad just died. He was mm-hmm. murdered. So that is the opening scene. It's very like, what is going on here? Like, is it a cult? Are they like going to kill themselves? But then we realize somebody already died and we're grieving. So it's okay. Just like, it's a big opening, honestly.
So the way I looked at it, and again, here's the weird thing is this, I remember this in the video game itself. This part was always freaking me out, this part of the game, but I didn't remember that well. I just remember that it kind of always, I always had an uneasy feeling when I played it. But when I saw this episode, I thought they were at mass, and I didn't even think it was a funeral. But you're right; it is kind of, they're talking about the girl's father who passed away, who we later find out who that is.
Yes.
But yeah, they're inside this kind of, it's like a restaurant, mm-hmm. what used to be a restaurant, and now is like a makeshift church or gathering spot.
And it's in the dead of winter, and she says, mm-hmm. "Can we bury him today or tomorrow?" Like she says, yeah. "Can we bury him now?" And they say they can't. The ground is too cold because they're in a like a mountainscape. Yeah. When they walk inside, you're like in the mountains. It's snowing. It's yeah. really cold, and so that's my immediate first when they said, the ground is frozen, it's too cold. And just, I don't know, the way the looks on his face, it was the way he looked. And I was like,
So, yeah. Well, what were you going to say?
I just watched it back to back because that's what the way they're doing it on HBO. He does a quick look over to James. Is his name?
Yes, James.
He takes a quick look to James, and then he looks back, like, kind of like, what do I tell her? He goes, and then he says, no, we can't. We have to bury her him in the spring. Mm-hmm. And so I guess that kind of, there was kind of like a, well, that's a little odd. Like, why did he need to do a quick look over? And something was already suspect at that point.
So about James, everyone's going to say, you know, any listener's going to be like, oh God, here he goes. But James is played by the actor Troy Baker. Troy Baker is the actual person who played Joel in the video game The Last of Us. He's the voice actor.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. What a shout out to the game.
So they've done a few of them. They've had right now, I think, three actors that have played the voice actors. Marlene played Marlene, and she's actually played in the show.
Wow.
The second one was the brother. Do you remember, what was her name? Is it Kathleen? Was it Kathleen? Kathleen? Her right hand man, the guy with the military guy with the gun.
Harry.
Yeah. Oh, he's the voice actor that played Tommy in the video game.
Wow.
And Joel is, or Troy Baker is the one that played Joel. But go ahead. Let's keep going. So now we have.
Yeah. Wait, should we mention there's a reverend? Have we mentioned that there's a leader of the...
Yeah, he's a pastor.
The leader, and he said that he has found God after the apocalypse.
Yes. And
well, I mean, so, but no, they're already, they have a discussion between James and David. There's a, what David is feeling is there's a, an absence of faith from, and there's a, you know, there's a loss of faith coming with that's developing within the community. And actually he specifically tells James, he goes, no, I think you might actually have a crisis in faith.
Yes.
And anyways, so they, so then that kind of finishes off the first scene, essentially, right?
We find out they're running out of food.
And I believe
they're running out of food.
I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe all the characters in this, not all of them, but a good majority of the characters in this little, you call it cult, but you know, like this little society at the, at Silver Lake or whatever it's called. They all have Old Testament biblical names. You've got David, you have James, and I believe the little girl he slaps is named Hannah. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that's like an Old Testament kind of name in the Bible. I might be wrong on that one. But like, you know, you have these two, like it's just.
They have evangelical sounding names.
Yes.
It's just religious. Yeah. They try to make them like generically religious. I think Christian, like religious. Because Hannah does sound like it's in the Bible somewhere.
Yeah.
Old Testament, who knows? But like, it sounds like it's a name that's probably in the Bible somewhere.
So we've got the introduction to David and James. And of course, like Ed said, David is like, you know, are you doubting me pretty much, you know, or are you losing your faith? And James is like, no, you know, I'm still following you. You kind of get to see that maybe there's a little fear to this David character, which is, not to harp back on this, but like the Kathleen character, I didn't understand why they would follow her. I don't understand why they follow David either, but I understand that he's creepier. Like the man just comes off as creepy. Like it's like they're following him because they're afraid of him, you know. Also because he's, you know, he believes he's a man of God, but he also has that creepy factor where it's like, if I don't follow him, what's going to happen to me?
So can we move on to the next scene just real quick? So we find out both are still alive, barely, and they are also starving, just like everybody else out there.
Yep.
So that really moves the plot along. It's like, okay, what else is going on at the same time this cult is happening? And we throw back to kind of her asking Joel to teach her how to hunt.
Yes.
They're starving. She goes outside and she sees a rabbit. Yep. And it's just kind of a throwback to remember she talked to him about learning how to hunt and now they're starving. And she ends up hitting a deer.
Mm-hmm.
She gets a deer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to compare this to the video game, because in the video game, you actually don't know. In the video game, that scene, last week's episode, wasn't in there, wasn't in the game. That was an extra downloadable content part. So it starts up with, or it ends with Joel being stabbed. And the next thing you know, it's winter and you have Ellie hunting. And I remember when I played it, my first reaction was like, oh, Joel's dead. Because you never play as Ellie in the game at all. And you just start playing as her. You're like, oh, I guess he did die at that point. And you play her for a while, a good part of the game. And then maybe like 2 hours later, you find out that, you know, just like in the show, he's alive and in the basement. But yes, we do have Ellie chasing down the deer. And of course, finally, the deer decides it can't go any further after she shoots it. And there is David and James talking about, well, are we going to take it? What are we going to do with this deer? It was interesting, you know, like to think about these guys are actually kind of like figuring out, well, what am I going to do? Are we just going to take it with us or somebody else might come along? I don't think it was because they were good people. At least because like if, let's say there was a flock of people that were coming after that deer and they saw him like dragging it off, you know, they'd be done for. So they had to be careful, like who killed who shot the deer.
Yeah, they did say the person whoever shot it is near.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So they are careful out there.
But well, they were going to take it. So obviously there wasn't a honor, a sense of honor amongst them already. So a little odd that a man of faith, you know, is basically just going to probably steal mm-hmm. someone else's kill. Yeah.
But remember, they're starving.
Yes.
They are starving. No, I get it.
But, well, you know. Quote unquote starving.
Stop it. Stop. All right,
I think we need to get to that.
Yeah. All right, so we've got, this is something that I was noticing in this part of the episode. It has nothing to do with, so I'm not a hunter, but after you shoot a deer, aren't you supposed to like drain it? Like if it just lies there, doesn't it go bad?
So you should dress it in the field.
Yeah.
Should be yeah. field dressing it. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. Because like if you just let it sit there for a while, it'll go bad.
And also other animals eat the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So like it's fresh when you put it out. Like you don't want it to be old for like other animals because of disease mm-hmm. and stuff, you know?
So
it's just, mm-hmm. I think that's the best way people do it.
I did like the part where all of a sudden Ellie pops out of nowhere when they're arguing about what to do with the deer. And she's mm-hmm. like, she tells them that she's going to, you know, she's got to put a bullet between their eyes.
Yeah.
You know, like, put down your guns. Like, she's like, you know, this little 13-year-old girl, like, with this rifle ready to, you know, go Rambo on these guys if they don't.
Maybe I'm looking too much into it, but the way she was holding the rifle was essentially incorrect. It was like, it was the way novices do it. Like, everyone does it. Like, everyone, the first time they probably like pick up a rifle, they put it underneath the shoulder and it, underneath the. So, anyways, it was kind of funny. But I'm actually reading up on a just a little thing on Wikipedia. They said, you know, she was having a hard time actually handling the rifle. So it's like it looks like that was actually a real gun. So I was
okay.
Well, yeah. So anyways, it was just kind of funny. I'm like. You know, I guess if like a real hunt, like let's say a professional hunter or avid hunter probably would notice like, she doesn't know what she's doing, you know, yeah. type thing. She got a lucky shot. But anyways,
and
that,
I think
that
it's,
was it, something that I noticed when I.
It's this scene where we start to get to see David trying to use his words to get out of stuff and trying to, you know, talk mm-hmm. Ellie into coming back with them. Which
yes.
was, you know, a little, at this point, you start to notice that he is getting a little creepy, you know, it's just, you know, hey, we've got food at our place. You can come back. We can help you out. That's, you know, part of, I don't know how you guys felt. I knew what this guy was, you know, his character arc, but did you guys, when you guys saw this, did you think, oh, actually, you know, he might actually be somebody who's trying to help out Ellie.
Do you want to go first?
I'll go first. Yeah. I kind of felt like, you know, he's in desperation mode, but he probably might actually still be like a true shepherd, a true leader of the pack, and he's just trying to do what's best for him. And the way he was talking to Ellie, like, it seemed like he was giving into like really simple stuff now, like trying to avoid violence, and I'll be happy to give you whatever you want for this. We can trade off.
Yeah, I agree.
But my people are starving. So I there was a little bit of a creepiness to him. Not creepiness. Actually, even until when he started talking about, oh, I think things happen for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, I can, but anyways, we'll get to that. But it really wasn't until a little bit later that I figured, and I'm like, yeah, this guy is not.
I think up until this point, he's one of the few characters who's the most sensible as far as, like, you know, we're introduced to him. He's like, hey, look, I'll give you medicine and you can just give us half of the deer.
Yeah.
And I'll get you medicine. You need medicine. Mm-hmm. And he even sent somebody out. What's his name? James. He's like, that's not code for anything. Go get the medicine.
Yeah. Yeah. And it kind of wasn't, but it was, but it really wasn't, but that was the point. I was still like, all right, you know, he might steal something, but he actually still might just be sensible and probably just looking after the flock, you know. There was definitely something under, like, that. The second time around, I started seeing a little bit more things that were a little off about.
So, Kelly, what did you think? Did you think, was he creepy at this point, or did you think he might be a decent person?
So here's the point where it says he seems nice, the pastor guy. So they have this conversation, this kind of joke between them that I love. So Ellie was like, so you went from teacher to preacher. Why? Because it effing rhymes.
That's after. So that's when they get into the cabinet that you're talking
about. So yeah, they're hanging out together.
I did crack up. That was actually pretty good.
Yeah. And then he calls the people his flock, which is a very culty vibe. That's where I first got, like, this first scene, I was like, is it a mass suicide? And when it wasn't, I was like, okay, good. Whew. Like, I could, like, breathe. And then we get to, wait, is this another culty vibe? They just did, it was a funeral at the beginning and not, like, a mass suicide. I got that part wrong, but, like, it's a little cult. But he said, but it's just standard Bible stuff.
Yeah.
That was his, like, his explanation out of it's not culty. He's like, I know it sounds bad.
Yeah, I know.
So I love that.
Yeah, I think at that point you're starting, and I think that's a lot like in the game. You start to like the guy, and then of course there's that twist, which I absolutely forgot about that part. But, you know, he's like, everything happens for a reason, and she's like, well, you know, what does Ellie say? Like, what, you know, no, it doesn't. Or
even at that point, it's just like, I'm like, oh, he's gonna make sense of the apocalypse and everything. But it was just like, no, he goes, no, things happen for a reason. We're going to get our revenge.
You know? Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm like, oh, no, nope, this guy ain't good.
The way he says it is so cool. He's just like, not cool, but creepy.
Yes, it's like, so good.
He says it so, because he's very calm. He's like very calm, and he's just like, well, everything happens for a reason. He's like, if Mr. Rogers was trying to, You know, Ellie, it's happened for a reason. I believe this. Yeah, I'm like,
oh my gosh, yes.
So yeah,
all right. The twist.
Yes, the twist. Go ahead, Kelly.
Twist.
The major twist at this moment is, as Ed just alluded to, was that the dad was the one that was that got killed at the beginning. And now they're getting the revenge.
Right.
Yes. Well, the dad that got killed in the beginning is the one that Joel killed
a
couple of episodes ago, and the one that stabbed Joel in the stomach with a baseball bat.
Yes. So the person with all that is getting trying to get their revenge.
Yes. So the idea is that they're going to find Joel and find Ellie and get the revenge. But All right. So then at this point, I think Jane shows up.
Well, they let Ellie go. They let Ellie go, which was kind of, all right, is he still a good guy? Is he just going to come after Joel now? And is he going to take in Ellie because he's, you know, he believes in redemption of some sort? So and then you learn on, nope.
He's got ulterior motives.
Yeah.
At this point, I said, this is where, for me, he got creepy because he got really calm.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the part that was the most creepy. At this point, I was like, okay, I wasn't sure before, but I'm really sure now. Because, like, he got super creepy. And he was, like, trying to recruit her, and it was just a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Very creep.
So now we get Ellie gets the medicine. She makes a run for it. And I believe we go back to the restaurant. I forgot what the name of the place was called, but we get back to the restaurant where they bring out, they're making food and they bring out the thing. They're like, she's like, well, what kind of meat is this? He's like, venison. At that point, I made my notes down. I wrote down notes. I'm like, I mean, do we want to already talk about the spoil for this?
So let's talk about the shot. Can we just talk about the way
it was. Go ahead.
So she asks a very simple question. He responds very immediately. Nothing weird about it, but the tone was weird. And then we have a really long camera shot mm-hmm. of the plate with the meat, like uh-huh. being dumped onto it. And to her sitting there, it just lasted forever.
Yep.
We were looking at that piece of meat for a while.
I also got a kick out of the fact that they're like, it's venison. And then like a scene later, they're dragging in the deer. And you're like, wait a second. That's not the same deer. They didn't have it before.
Yeah. Oh, it's so bad. It's so terrible because we have no evidence.
Mm-mm.
There's no evidence that like that's what it is, but there's just the camera shot lasts forever.
Yeah.
And the question that they asked each other was very straightforward, and then just look at it.
Doesn't look like venison.
She said, "What is that?" And he said,
Dad? The other part is, I believe he's up there talking about the fact that they ran into Joel, or they ran into Ellie and the person who killed the little girl. I believe her name is Hannah, but killed the little girl's dad. And the girl screams out loud to kill him and to kill Ellie.
Yep.
And he walks over and slaps her. And at that point, like, if you didn't think he was bad at that, you know, any time before that, you realize, okay, this is a bad person. The person that slaps her is David. Sorry, I got to be David's the one that slaps the girl.
I was still holding on up until that point.
Yeah.
So then I see him. You kind of just see, no, this guy is a, you know, sociopath. He's power hungry. He likes to control people, and he's like, you still have a father. That's what he says to her.
Well, right? here's the thing that made this scene even worse. Well, one, it's this, I think, in my opinion, this guy's worse than the version of the video game. But what really got me in this scene was he slaps her. Nobody else does anything. And my first thought was like, would this guy have done the same thing if the dad was still alive? You know, I don't think so. I think he takes advantage of this because he knows that, you know, like his thing is like women are beneath him, you know, that he can do what he wants. And he's just an evil, you know, just an evil person. Had the dad been alive, that dad may have, you know, probably stood up and said, no, we're done. You're not going to, you know, I mean, the guy ended up attacking Joel. So I don't see him, you know, he probably would have stood up for his own daughter. But this guy knows, now I can do what I want to do with this little girl. What's the mom going to do? And nobody else is going to do anything because I'm feeding them. And I think that just makes him such a worse character.
And he does say that his following is mostly women and children.
Mm-hmm.
Because he probably has killed off all the other ones. But the reason that he slaps the girl, he said, isn't because you want to kill them. It's because you interrupted me.
Exactly.
And
he said,
I am your father. And that's exactly why he has the biggest following of women and children, is because he's all of their daddy.
Mm-hmm.
He lets them know. And they are his true followers. Like, they are submissive. And it's very much on purpose. His ego, his psychosis, is that he's like, you know, he's in tune. And then I don't know, is worshiping something, we'll get to.
Yeah, and then, okay, so Thed, there's another scene here that I noticed. Everybody has their bowl of food, and I made a note. I'm like, his meal was different than the others, but I guess it wasn't different. They just gave him more. If you notice, he's got like a bigger, you know, bigger plate, which just goes to show that, you know, not everybody's equal here. He gets a bigger slice of.
And also, did you notice his face when he was eating it? Everyone around him was like nervous, like, what is it? But he was like, oh yeah, I know what it is, and I don't even care. In fact, he's enjoying it. It's really sick. Yeah. It's a very telling moment for him. Like, he is in this weird, crazy.
And so then at this point, I think we've got, we cut to Ellie trying to help out Joel. I think this is where she's got the penicillin and she stabs him with the penicillin. I don't know how penicillin works, but I mean, I don't know if you just like stab it with the.
I was just thinking, she's like, F it. And then she did.
Yeah, like stabs him right there where the wound is at.
Yeah, and I'm waiting for him to cry out in sheer agony, and then him dying because he's allergic to penicillin or something. That's what I was just like, oh my god, like I'm hoping this is.
I guess Ellie is the last of us. I think the other part is, you think about penicillin is made out of mold, isn't it? Like fungus?
Yeah, in the rainforest.
Yeah. So.
Okay, so can I just.
I thought it was a cheese sandwich or something. I'm joking.
I don't know. Eddie, you better not treat people in the apocalypse. Oh
my God. All right, so we. Fly back to Ellie.
Okay.
And I just want to recap that this is a post-apocalyptic world where this little girl is carrying a full deadweight man on horseback to a random house, sewing up his stab wound, and miraculously found penicillin when he becomes infected. This girl is obviously a...
how she got him down that? Yeah, that's amazing.
It looks like... It looks like she used the horse maybe to drag him, at least to the house.
But then they get down the basement.
But down the basement was definitely the real task.
His head was bobbing all over the stairs on the way down.
Oh my god! Yeah.
She hopefully was holding his head up first.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but
Ellie,
okay.
My head hurts, Ellie.
Go find Tommy and bring back a bottle. Bring back a bottle of that bourbon. Okay.
Bring back a bottle of aspirin, Ellie.
Thanks,
Ellie. Oh my gosh! Hey, can we take a break for a second?
Yeah, we're gonna take a quick break. Actually, this is perfect. We'll take a quick break.
Thank you.
And we are back. So. We are now still talking about Ellie giving Joel random shots in the stomach and him slowly getting better. And then I like the scene where she kind of lies down next to him, I don't know if it's to keep him warm or just to be there next to Joel. You start to really, really see that father-daughter relationship continue to see it to build.
Yeah, it shows that literally, like, she has nothing and no one else. Like, her hope is that he lives, because if without him, she's done.
Yep.
She knows it.
And so then we get the scene where Ellie is walking out. She leaves the place to get the horse water, with the horses just inside the garage.
In the garage. In the little garage. Yeah. I'm like, what is it eating? It's about to die.
Yeah, it's just, that's what I was wondering too. What is this poor horse eating? And so then they give, she gives it some ice water. And here's some people around the corner and realizes that it's David, what's his name? David.
James.
And Timothy. The other crew. And they're all coming to looking for Joel and looking for Ellie. And I believe James says he wants Ellie taken alive. Which I'm like, oh, geez, here we go. Because I know what's going to happen.
So I didn't know what was going to happen. And this was the moment you're asking, like, are they hunting the people or are they saving the people?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a religious mission, right? Like,
yeah.
It's headed by the religious leader.
Mm-hmm.
And he says alive. So we go from, like, oh, they're going to kill them to, oh, are they trying to save them? Or, yeah. Like, which is it? So.
And so Ellie goes back down to Joel and says, you know, hey, here's a knife. If they come in, fight or save yourself or whatever. And she's going to lead them away with the horse. And she does. She shuts it down and makes a run for it with the horse, or gallops away. And then we get the horse, the poor horse that gets shot. And Ellie goes flying off and she gets captured.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
So can we go back just 1 second?
Go ahead.
All right. So they have a conversation about what is God's will.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're like, do we kill her or do we let her go? And it's just like, who decides what God's will is?
Mm-hmm.
Because one guy wants revenge and then the pastor guy says no. So then they shot the horse and they were about to shoot her for revenge, but he stopped it. So he's determining God's will. He is deciding who lives and who dies. It's like, that's his power trip. That's his psychosis.
James is the one that asked, well, why don't we just kill her? Or, I believe, what does he say? Just let her go too? Just that to, I took it this way. I took it because James knows who David really, really is. And he knows the reason he knows what David wants with Ellie. And I think for him, he's just like, I don't want to see that happen. He's still, James, or David is into younger girls, you know. He's an awful person. And I think James knows this because really? He's his right-hand man. And he's just like, look, why don't we just let her go? You don't got to bring her with you. Just let her go. You know, the way I took it, I thought that, you know, it was him kind of trying to, you know, or at least kill. Because remember, he's willing to shoot Ellie, you know?
Yeah.
If they just want her for food, why kill her? Why not bring her back alive and then, you know, do something later? But he's just like, I'm going to put you out of your misery because you do not want to be with this man, you know, what's going to happen with you.
Oh, you think it was like that? That's cool. I didn't even think about that at all. So I really like that perspective, actually.
Yeah, it was just the way I thought, because I'm like, I know he's not a good, James isn't a good person either, but you don't see him as bad as you would see, until later, I guess when they do try to chop the poor Ellie up later on, you can see he's kind of a jerk. But at this point, I thought it was him trying just to get, you know, save her one last time.
That was, his part. So then comes my favorite, the squeaky haunted house, like, going down into the basement where the guys are like creeping around the neighborhood. They're like, let's find him.
Oh yeah, they're trying to find Joel. They're going to all the houses trying to find Joel.
Like, the best haunted house squeaks. Like, it's very much haunted house. It was so cute. I loved it.
And I think Eddie made a point about this. Like he said, like, Eddie, you want to talk about, like, you know, your, how the part that was a little unbelievable for you about Joel?
Well, okay. So anyways, we were talking about the typical, we call, is it Deus Ex Machina? The hand of God type thing that happens in certain situations. So throughout the whole time, we're seeing Joel like laying in bed. Is he even conscious? Did he even hear Ellie tell him, like, yeah, you gotta stab anybody that comes through the door because it's not gonna be me type thing? I'm leading him away. Did he even understand it? And next thing you know, the guy pulls the dresser whatever the dish, the china thing away from the door, and then he walks down, and Joel springs into action. apparently, the magic two shots of penicillin. all of a sudden, he's able to jump around and do a ninja assassination on the guy that walks down there.
Yeah.
So I was a little, okay.
I agree, because like even like 2 days before he could barely move.
I think you finally said like Rob, you said it. Like, it's finally a video game.
That was definitely a video game moment where he gets up and, you know, he takes it up. I was just saying, like, oh, it's cool, but still, I'm like, I don't know. Joel, you're still, you got a hole in the side of your stomach.
You got a hole, you had two shots of penicillin. Who knows if it, I guess it worked, you know, but like, I'm pretty sure.
Oh my gosh.
So anyways, yeah.
Can I say that the actor that played the dead guy should win an award?
With a smile?
They stayed on that creepy ass face. I'm sorry for the swear, but they stayed on that actor's face looking so scary. But that guy should win an award. It was really a long time.
I noticed that too. Like, he had that crazy like smile, didn't he? Where it was just kind of like,
why is this?
Yeah.
I was like, dude.
Why did he really stick it to that scene? But I'm like, okay, all right. So we then get to the next scene. We have Ellie in the cage. You know, she's been now taken and she's inside the cage next to in the kitchen in the restaurant where they hold their services. And I think, is it at this point that we finally get the revelation? Again, revelation, the idea that he's finally revealing himself, that this guy's saying he wants to take Ellie as his pretty much like wife, right? This is the part where he kind of brings it up.
No, I never interpreted it as a wife. Was I missing something? I said to come to join the cult, but I didn't think of it as like a wife.
No, he wants to take her as like his, you know, like, well, he's into little.
First, he wants like an equal. He's tired of the people. Well, he says, I'm a shepherd surrounded by sheep. All the only thing I crave right now is an equal. So I don't know. Is he just saying stuff just to like, he knows Ellie isn't just a like a pushover, you know, she wants.
He wants to, the idea is he wants to take her as like, you know, like as an equal, but he's like, he wants in other perverted manners. And
yes,
I guess this is where we could talk about like the fact this guy in, so when I talk about the revelations part, as I mentioned, in the world before the whole breakdown, this guy was a teacher. And he said, he's like, I taught people your age. And he tells her this.
Yeah, math.
Yeah, I taught math to people your age. And now that the world's broken down, he now has free reign. It's been revealed who he truly is. And he has free reign to do whatever he wants to do. And this is who he always was, which is really creepy.
I disagree. He said he found God after the apocalypse, which he said is arguably a worse or better time. Remember?
So
he
wasn't
religious before.
You don't think he had these proclivities for the younger girls at the...
I didn't even get the sexual stuff, honestly. I didn't get that at all. I thought he was trying to play to her weaknesses, is that she thought she could be an equal to him because she knew she could kill him.
Like, out of curiosity, we'll get to this part in a minute. What do you think is happening at the very end when he has her tied down?
They're going to cut her up for food.
No. I'm talking like in the fire where he says, I like it.
No. At the point I think you're talking about in the cage, you know, you could tell it seems like he wants her to be an equal partner and it didn't seem like it was going to be sexual, but definitely at the like when it like slowly developed, and it looked like it was just like, yeah, he's definitely a creeper.
Do you remember that with the hands? I wrote that it got really handsy. So maybe she was playing into what, I don't know. It's complicated. I'm not sure.
Okay, so
I didn't think of it the first time, but it could be.
It's so this in the video game, it's actually less. It's not as in this one. They make it more obvious that he's into younger girls. Like he's supposed to. Maybe you guys have to give it a second watch and then look at it that way when you watch it, and you'll be like, oh wow, okay, he really is this evil person, because there's a reason he keeps her around, and it's not because, you know, he wants her because he's, you know, he has other ulterior motives, and it's not to kill her and eat her. It's, you know, to turn her into like this young wife. He is an awful person, and but we'll get to at the very end. I'll explain something in a little bit, but go ahead.
And Ellie doesn't fall for it, obviously, and she breaks his hand, but you know, she, that was the thing, like, You got to, I guess you got to hand it to her at that. I mean, she could have easily maybe tried to manipulate or take advantage of him, but she doesn't bite. I mean, she tries to escape. And that was, I thought that was really, I'm like, that was like really interesting. Cause she sees the ear on the ground. Right. Mm-hmm. That's when, you know, everybody's right, so very human being. Yeah. Yes. That was like,
it definitely was soy
greens made out of people. It's not venison.
Yes, that's where we learned that it's not venison. That's where you get the confirmation that they're not going to be burying dad over the summer.
Oh yeah,
they've already had enough.
So anyways, so she doesn't bite. She
breaks his finger and says,
literally and figuratively, she doesn't bite. She breaks his hands, and I guess that was kind of like, I'm like, whoa, way to go, Allie. I'm like, you're a badass.
It says, what did she say? Tell him that a little 14-year-old girl broke your...
She doesn't reveal her name. Mm-hmm. And then she goes, Allie, tell him it was Allie that broke your fingers. But that was the thing, because he kept on, he's like, oh, can I get your name? Can I be like, and so...
It's important what she says too. She's like, it's Ellie. Tell him it's Ellie, a little girl who broke your finger. You know, no, she still wants to this guy to realize I'm not a woman. I'm still a young, I'm a little girl, and it's like, even though she's not, I mean, she's, definitely proved herself to be much more than just this little girl, but I think she's trying to say, like, you are a creep. Get, what is wrong with you? And then we cut to another scene.
Yeah. So can we catch up on the scenes? So I'm leaving off where he tries to get her to join again, but now we cut to looking for Timothy. Joel is up.
Yes. Joel is, this is a crazy scene where
is activated.
Yes. Joel. I put on here Joel torture scene. Wow. Yes. Because this is like, this is Joel. This is the evil Joel that we've heard about. Like the way he's like, do you remember like the earlier episodes when we had the older Native American couple and they were like, they're like, tell us where they're at. Does this match up with the other, with what you're saying? Yeah. Well, this is the exact same thing he's doing, but this time he's actually got them tortured. And this was, in my opinion, a really tough scene to watch because he was getting evil.
I even wrote in here, I said at the end, brutal, kind of really.
Yeah.
It was a tough scene.
Because the guy finally points out like where they're located at. He takes that person out. And then the other guy is just like, I'm not telling you anything. he's like, and Joel with the crowbar says like, well, no, I don't, I believe what the other guy said.
He goes, it's okay. I believe him. So yes. Whack. No second.
The dialogue the content was rough.
Yeah.
The dialogue in that scene was fantastic.
And this was, I think we finally realized that he really wants to get Ellie back. He cares about her and he'll do whatever he needs to do to make sure she's safe. And no longer is she a package, to deliver. He actually cares about her because he's willing to go nuts.
Because she saved his life, literally. Mm-hmm. So this is my favorite part where Ellie's back in the cage and she sees the ear. This is my favorite part. When she glances down and there's the ear on the floor. And I was like, I knew it. Because from the very beginning, when they had that really long cut of the camera on the meat with the simple question that lingered so long, I was like, that's human.
They're eating human beings.
And then finally we get like the confirmation that the ear is on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, whose ear is it? It's the dad's. Yeah. I'm like, I knew it the whole time. So that was a big scene for me. And this is where she finds out they're going to eat her. Mm-hmm. He said, piece by piece.
Well, that's after she fights back.
Twice.
Because remember, he still wants to save her up until like she decides to break his finger. Then it's like, we're going to get you piece by piece.
Yeah. So not everybody knows because he confides in her.
Mm-hmm.
He says, not everybody out there knows, but some people do.
Yeah. I think some people do. And honestly, I wonder if like a lot of people kind of assume because like... Well, I don't know. Maybe they don't. They just kind of believe him. But then we get Joel that he gets to the resort. He makes it all the way out there. And we get another confirmation. He goes in there and we find the poor dead horse lying there. He finds Ellie's bag, so he knows she's there. And then he walks into a room and sees the frozen, it's like a butcher, you know, like a butcher shop.
We're moving way ahead.
Where are you at?
So the reverend starts like talking to her, saying like he sees himself in her, mm-hmm. that she's a leader, she's loyal, and we both have a violent heart. He said, me and you are the same. So he's like, mm-hmm. and then he tells her, this is the point where he tells her he worships the mushroom disease.
Yeah.
It's not bad, you know. It actually takes care of its children. And like, he has this like whole religious spiel about how like it's God. The mushroom disease mm-hmm. is God, which is like the enemy to the entire show. Like he's insane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for me, this was, again, this is a scene where I keep thinking like he doesn't want Ellie as a friend. There's something else there. He's a bad, bad man.
And this is where I said the handsy touchy, mm-hmm. where they do like the little, and she like plays into like the handsy.
Yeah.
And he said, breaky the fingers.
Yeah.
So it's, and that's where she sees the ear. That whole scene is really intense.
Yeah.
Really weird.
So after that, I think that's where we get where, again, Joel gets to resort and he sees the dead body is just kind of like frozen and inside the cooler, which that was also in the game. And I think that's where you kind of, if it wasn't confirmed already, it's a definite confirmation that they're eating people. And now we get to the part where they got Ellie. James comes back to, David comes back, David and James, to pretty much make Ellie into hamburger meat. You know, they're going to come in and they're just going to, you know, because she doesn't want to comply. And this was a really creepy part too for me.
I love this one.
They grab her, put her on the chopping block, and she's just begging not to, you know, it's like, please don't. And a very smart thing Ellie does here, which she does in the game, she's like, you don't want to eat me. I'm infected.
I love it.
I'm bad meat. And which is perfect.
I'm gone bad.
Yeah, like I'm spoiled meat. Don't eat me. Which is, I thought very smart of Ellie to do. I thought that was perfect. And then, you know, he shows her that, you know, that he's been bitten. And then at that point she gets her, you know, while they're bickering about what to do, if she's really bitten or not, she grabs the cleaver. And takes out, James.
James. Yeah.
Right in the neck.
Like this whole, like this, this, I mean, everything in this, this episode is not everything, but a lot of it is just kind of tough. I think this is one of the more graphic episodes yet, because like everything that they're doing is just like, you know, from Joel torturing the people, her almost being chopped up, people eating other people. Like at this point, I'm just like, okay, this is a very, very intense episode.
My thought is that she's going to become David's God because she's the cure, right? Because he can tell the bite's old.
Mm-hmm.
He says it right there. And because he worships the fungus disease, he's going to be like, you're the fungus queen. I will. And that's what I'm like thinking, is it going to go in that direction? Like, is he going to be like, she is the cure? Let's get her there. And like support Joel's mission. Mm-hmm. Not the case, unfortunately.
And so at this point, we've got Ellie makes a run for it after taking the cleaver to his face's neck.
Yeah.
And she makes a run for it, grabs a burning ember, throws it at James or at David, and starts a fire inside the restaurant.
Hmm.
Yep.
Also a scene from the game. I liked what Eddie, you sent me a text saying that this should be called, what was it?
Burning down the haste of the patriarchy.
Yes. I like that because it really is. It really is burning down the patriarchy.
I was going to say, Ellie goes full on burns down the house, and then does it.
Yeah. What happens here? She's like, you know, hiding, kind of like hiding behind the things as David is looking for her. This is also pretty much straight from the game, and it kind of like it even though I know what's going to happen, like it did give me it made me worried, because it's like it's a really creepy scene. He's just going around trying to find her, saying after a while, like, hey, you know, we could still be friends or whatever.
Question, Rob, is this from the first part one or part two of
this
the
is from part
video
one
game?
Part one.
Has everything been part of part one?
Everything is part one. Or, everything.
Okay. All right, good.
And then there's that scene where he finally catches her. David finally catches her. And guys, I'm telling you, this is the scene where he says, I like it, you know, when you squirm. He is about to take advantage of Ellie in a, you know, in a bad way. This is what you're supposed to assume at this point. Watch the episode again and you'll be like, oh my God, it's even worse than before. I don't know what did you guys take from this?
I wrote down that the place is burning down and he locked the doors. So like it is a control, like she can't leave and he wants her to know that. And he's getting a little more crazy in the eyes and he keeps wanting her to call him daddy.
Mm-hmm.
So
are we seeing this though? are we starting to go to my way to realize what David
trust
really
me.
Is?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw it.
It's so gross. Yeah.
So I think it's at this point that you start to, you know, well, I noticed it before, but yeah, he's about to, you know, do something extremely bad. And Ellie takes that cleaver again and just like goes to town.
Oh my God. Once again, a really long stabbing scene. It lasted forever.
Yeah.
And a mess of flesh left in a pile after she was done with that cleaver.
So one thing I liked about this scene, not liked about it because it's a very graphic scene, but the way they, a couple of things. One is in this game, I'd have to say this is one of the pivotal moments in her life. This is where Ellie stops being the naive girl and starts to realize that, you know, things are not everybody's a good person. People are just, there are absolutely evil, evil people in this world. Because up until now, she's pretty much met some decent folk, you know, like Joel. She's met Tess, Marlene. She never met Bill and Frank, but she knows about them. Henry and, was it Henry and Bill? Or Henry and...
Frank.
Frank, wait. Or no, the brothers, the two. Henry and... I forgot, but Tommy, you know, everybody at the thing, you know, everybody says she's met up along to this point are kind of okay people. They, you know, they're kind of, you know, trying to live for themselves, but they're decent people. Even the clickers, you know, they're not people. They're just, they're evil, but they're not, you know, they can't think for themselves. I think this is the first time she's introduced to somebody who is in no way good and wants to take advantage of her. And for her, I think this scene for her taking that anger out, I think she's starting to realize that this world is not as she's losing her, not her, her, was it naive? She's not as naive anymore. She's not as innocent. You know, there's something has happened in this. And I also like the fact that Joel doesn't come in to save her. She does this all on her own. She doesn't need Joel. You know, Joel needs her as much as she needs him. And it's not like here comes a father figure to save the daughter. No,
yeah,
she stands up for herself.
This is exactly like my takeaway from the whole thing. It was like the episode was called When We Are in Need.
Mm-hmm.
And it really shows like each person equally took care of each other when they were in need. And so it does like connect us all in a sense, like that we do want the best in humanity. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's a cult, but like that we all have some little bit of us that wants to believe in the good. And I don't know, even though the good can very quickly turn ugly and bad, it was a study on religion in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
and how it can be helpful and how it can be hurtful, and how there's a really fine line between faith and fundamentalism and fanaticism, where it makes you do crazy things.
Because doesn't even David say he doesn't believe it? Like, he's like, he doesn't believe the religion stuff.
But he's a fanaticist. Like, he's become crazy. And I don't know. It just, his fate versus, is everything connected?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. In his way, it was bad. But are things connected in a good way, too? Like, hope?
So, you know? Ed, what did you think about up until, we're going to cover the very last scene in a minute, but what did you think of up until this, like having Ellie being the one to take out David and all that?
To take out David and the, it was, well, it was quite the, it was quite a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we saw flashes of Ellie being, I think very, what's the word? She was very, she's, like I said, I think she's very, you know, like sassy, but she's, she definitely, took it to the next level. And like, her character, and you especially see it at the end, she's going to go through, she went through like, she was traumatized. You could finally see her traumatized, especially at the end of this.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, the girl is gone. You know, she's definitely an adult now.
And then I think I really like the very, very end where Joel shows up and he's like, baby girl, I gotcha. And I'm like,
it's me. No, finally you could see Joel is embracing the fatherhood again.
Yeah.
You know, like embracing
her shell shock in that she doesn't even know who he is for like a large part of that engagement.
And I don't know if you I don't know if you realize it, but like he calls her baby girl, which is what he called his daughter Sarah.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and that's the first time he's actually said that since probably the beginning of this whole series. So he finally comes there. There is a little difference between this scene and the one in the video game, specifically what Ellie says. I believe in the video game, because I recently saw something to compare the two. I think she says something like he tried to, and then he kind of holds her. She never finishes what was going to happen there. So
also reckons back to kind of what you were talking about. Mm-hmm. Like maybe she understood it was more than just, I don't know.
Yeah. If you ever get a chance, check that out. You can see the comparison, but in this one, she doesn't say that. She just kind of like mumbles a bit and he holds her. He's just like, I got you, baby girl. And then they walk off, or he puts the coat on her and they walk off. Overall, this was a really good episode. It's intense. It's one of those that like, you can't do this every week because I think at some point you get numb to it. You'd be like, oh man, this is just too much. I really like this one. There were a couple of things I kind of wish they would have done. But let me ask before I go into that, what did you guys think about the episode?
What did you think?
Very good. Very, very, very good. This is definitely one of the better ones. God, we always keep on saying that it's not episode three, but
nothing ever will be.
I hate being that. I hate it, but I'll just say I don't know if it's the best one out of all of them so far, but they did a very, very good job of kind of like compacting the story. And actually, this was definitely one of the better ones. No, they really made this really tight and efficient. So I was really impressed with this one.
And Kelly, what'd you think?
What was Ed's rating out of 10?
Oh, you're gonna do ratings right now?
You want my rating?
Yeah.
I think I'll give it a 9. I'll give it a 9.
I'm at an 8.5.
8.5.
Totally agree. Yeah, totally agree. It was a very good episode. I had pages of notes.
What knocked it down those 1.5 points?
It's not as emotionally. It was not as good as Bill and Frank. Mm-hmm. So that's always my meter of excellence. Because that is 10 out of 10, nothing could beat it, mm-hmm. in my opinion. And this one was really good. It was really good. It was so complex and it was so layered. And I'm sure we have only like touched on probably like 35% of like the amount of stuff that they put into there that we didn't even mm-hmm. pick up on. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. I did really feel like it was good.
So a few things I kind of wish they started to, they would do more in pretty much the series in general is we've only had a handful of times that we've come across the clickers or the infected. Like in this one, you don't see them at all. And in the video game version, they play a big part. The clickers are the reason why Ellie originally starts to trust David, because they fight them off together, which I think would have been a good way to have her kind of, you could have been like, oh, I actually do, you know, I relate with this character.
Different.
Yeah. And at that point you would have been able to, you know, then the twist would have been even, it would hit you even more. It'd been like, oh wait, this is the guy just, you know, that Ellie and David were fighting alongside each other. Now he's had this whole plan to actually try to find her and Joel to take him out. So I kind of wish they would add a few more of the of that, because this is, I mean, at the end of the day, it is about, you know, the fungus people, the fungi's.
The fungi. Sorry.
I think I personally, I'm going to give this one a 9.5. I thought it was really, really good. Oh yeah.
Wow, we're kind of all over the place on this one. I like
that. I'm going to tell you, like at the very end when Joel hugs her and calls her baby girl, you know, like I was like, oh, I think I might cry. You know, this is like I finally got to see Joel, you know, like he's just like, you know, and it wasn't just that it's like you could see that he knew that she just went through a lot and he wasn't there for her. But he's like, no, I've got you from this point forward. And that's really going to lead into next week. Because next week is going to be the last episode of the season, and it's going to be a very divisive episode.
Wow!
Oh dear!
Oh, I'm scared.
Yeah.
Now I'm scared, Rob.
Oh no! Trust me. Next season's going to be even a worse one, and but that one I'll leave it at that. Next season is going to be one of the worst ones. But yeah, guys, I think overall we gave this one a very high ranking. Anyone out there listening, you can email us at geekerscreeperscast@gmail.com. Tell us what you think. Were we wrong? Was I wrong the way I viewed who David was? You know, or you can follow us at geekerscreepers. We are on Twitter. With that said, any final parting words on this episode or just in general what we're thinking of what'll happen next week? Kelly?
No, I'd just like to thank everybody out there for listening to Geekers Creepers and The Last of Us review of episode 8, When We Are in Need. As always, thank you so much, and live, laugh, creep. Thank you.
Awesome. And Eddie, any final parting words?
No, glad to be part of this, and hopefully the final episode will deliver, and so far, so good.
Awesome. All right, guys, everyone, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And until next time, we do wish you all the best in life, love, and gaming.
Good night, everybody.